O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit or stand. When far away, you know my every thought. You chart the path ahead of me and tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am. You know what I am going to say before I even say it. You both precede me and follow me, and place your hand of blessing on my head. This is too glorious, too wonderful to believe. I can never be lost to your spirit. I can never get away from God. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the place of the dead, you are there. If I ride the morning winds to the farthest ocean, even there your hand will guide me. Your strength will support me. If I try to hide in the darkness, the night becomes light around me. For even darkness cannot hide from God. To you the night shines as bright as the day. Darkness and light are both alike to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit them together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. It is amazing to think about. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You were there while I was being formed in utter seclusion. You saw me before I was born and scheduled every day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. How precious it is, Lord, to realize that you are thinking about me constantly. I can't even count the many times a day your thoughts turn toward me. And when I awaken in the morning, you are still thinking of me. Surely you will slay the wicked, Lord. Away, bloodthirsty men, begone. They blaspheme your name and stand in arrogance against you. How silly can they be? O Lord, shouldn't I hate those who hate you? Shouldn't I be grieved with them? Yes, I hate them, for your enemies are my enemies too. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test my thoughts. Point out anything you find in me that makes you sad, and lead me along the paths of everlasting life. Let's pray together before BJ speaks to us. We thank you for these reflections of your servant written so many hundreds of years ago, our Father. And we today in this church echo those concluding requests that you will search us. You already know our hearts, but we pray that you will not only search them, but tell us what you find there, and reveal to us those things which stand in the way of your making us the people you want us to be. We ask this for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Well, I put this on my neck. 10 million, with the breathtaking beauty of the English countryside. As we travel in our car, we see the farms and the fields and the parallel boroughs, the fresh air. One day, a young man from Sheffield who was working, who was making tractors, he got fed up of the city life. So he said, I'm going to go to the countryside. I'm going to live in the country. So he went to one of the farms and asked the farmer, will you employ me? Can I get a job? So he said, do you know anything about tractors? I make them. All right, you are in. So he asked them, well, tomorrow morning you get up and 4 o'clock, will you plow those fields there? You know, these farmers, 4 o'clock in the morning, they get all types, very hard-working people they are. But this fellow said, all right, I'll do that. So at 4 o'clock in the morning, he got up all first day. He started plowing the field. At about 6 o'clock, the farmer got up. And he said, I wonder how this new lad is doing. He came out of the house and he looked. And here he was plowing all over the place. No rhythm or rhyme. And he said, hey, come here. You told me that you know all about the tractors. Well, yes, I made them. But he didn't know how to use them. So he said, now I'll give you a tip. Now look straight ahead. Some
everything's fixed, sir. And drive straight.
You know, when you're driving, learning to drive, the instructor says, don't look at your bonnet. Look straight ahead. So it's all right. I'll do that. So the farmer went to his house. He had his breakfast, morning paper. About after a few hours, I thought, I wonder how this young fellow is doing. So he came to the field. And still this fellow was going up and down. So he said, hey, come here.
I told you to look straight ahead.
So he said, I did. See that brown cow there?
He has been following the brown cow all the morning. I don't know if you are been at sea. If you have been a sailor like me, we know that Polestar is a navigation aid for the seamen. Have you a guiding star who keeps your course on the straight and narrow path daily? Or do you drift along from crisis rock to crisis rock every day, one crisis to another? Jesus' first recorded message to his disciples, as given in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, is, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow me, said Jesus. And my main thrust this afternoon in today's talk is to help you to follow him, a person. You know, Christian discipleship is a passion for the person of Christ rather than loyalty to a cause. A passion for the person of Christ rather than a loyalty to his cause. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2, we find Paul saying Christians, explaining Christians as a pure bride to her one husband. Our relationship, my Lord, we call him. My quiet time is my spiritual honeymoon with my Lord. If you call it spiritual honeymoon. If you want, a valuable tip which I could share with you. If you want to let your love grow for Jesus daily, well, it starts with a honeymoon. It means being together. Being together. Our daily devotional time. Some people call it quiet time. Time spent alone with Jesus Christ. Do you know Bill, Mr. Newberry, who sits in that goggle box there and record the talks? Now, when he came here in the early years, a few years ago, I found there is something fantastic about his marriage. You know, he loves his wife, and the relationship is growing. So I asked Bill, can you help me? What is the secret? Now, come on. You can't keep it alone. So he said, I don't know. And he had no clue. So I asked him, now, tell me, what do you do from the morning till evening? And I had a survey of his life from the morning till he gets up, till he goes to sleep. And I got it. Do you know what happened? I'm sure he wouldn't mind telling you. When he goes home, he's got two children, a boy and a girl. His wife takes one and he takes looks after the other. And they put them to bed and give them, read the Bible, say the prayers. And they spend an hour together, alone in their company. The television is off. They are together for 1 hour. And that is the secret. I knew that. That's the secret. And here is a tip for you. If you are married, or when you get married, if you are still single, even if both of you are working, by the way, the inflation is catching up, both of you will have to work if you have to keep your head over the surface. You have to work. But even, if you want your love to grow in your family life, with your husband and wife, if you want your love to strengthen, spend at least 1 hour together in each other's company. Switch the television off and talk to each other. Now, have you a quiet time with Jesus daily? Have you? If your quiet time has become stale, if you think, oh, it's terrible, it's not really exciting, I can tell you the reason. Perhaps you haven't got a quiet time. You have got a God box. Get up in the morning. Get from the shelf the Bible, open it, open the box up, read it, play with it maybe sometime, and then mumble some prayers, and close it and pack it away, till the next morning. Is your quiet time a God box? You open it up in the morning and forget about it? If it is stale, your time with Jesus in the morning, in those circumstances, ask yourself, is it really the Lord Jesus who has filled my longing for the quiet time? Or have I chiefly been taken up by my petitions and by myself? You know, in this fashionable, affluent 70s, a couple can very well go to their holidays differently, isn't it? To different places, separately. Have you ever heard of a bride and a groom going for separate honeymoon? It's absolutely impossible. Honeymoon is being together. And our quiet time is our spiritual honeymoon with Jesus Christ, being in His company, being conscious of it, getting to know Him better, and strengthening our relationship with our Lord. Not just 10 minutes, you know, in the morning, but it starts there. And then it carries on throughout the day, the consciousness of His presence. I want to ask you a serious question, and I mean it. How many times have you thought about Jesus, His word and His love for you, since you have left home this morning? How many times have you done it? Or do you believe that a Christian ought to be diligent in his work and in his office instead of being a daydreamer? You know, I have a Christian friend who works very hard in our office, exceptionally conscientious. Now, he met a girl in this church, fell madly in love with her, you know, he couldn't live without her. And we used to pray for him together. And he got married a few months ago. And I asked David last week, David, how many times do you think of your wife in the morning from 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock? And he replied, many times, Vijay, many times. So I asked him, aren't you wasting the firm's time while thinking about your wife? Oh, no, no, he replied quickly. I can do that without affecting my work. Don't you know that? You can't get your thoughts always on the job. You can think. You can make your mind wander without disturbing the work that you're doing. It's possible. And the sad truth is, some Christians have a standard for the items concerned with Jesus and another standard for personal worldly items. It's for the Lord that we have to be very strict. You know, we can do what we like about ourselves. Does your quiet time extend to the whole day? Even when you're working, when you're walking to the station, are you thinking about God? Do you know He loves you? Have you learned the secret of talking to God constantly? Do you meditate on His word? When you finish after a sermon coming to the church, when you go back, do you think, what did I hear today? What did I learn? Have you had the habit of meditating? I've got a piece of paper here which it explains. You know, with a hand, it's from the navigators, it costs a penny. There's quite a few on the table there, you can pick one if you want to. I'm not explaining it. See, it's like this. Our finger, you hear, you read, you study, you learn by heart. All these fingers are no good unless you've got the thumb. That's meditation. If you hear, you meditate, you hold it a little bit. If you read and meditate, better. If you study and meditate, better. If you learn it by heart and meditate, you hold it, the word of God in your hand, and you can't take it away. But if you don't meditate, see that? You can come here 100 years and listen to Dick, but if you don't think about it, if you don't meditate what God is telling you, you might as well not come here. Because you have to think, what is God telling me? Do you speak to God? And when you think of these things, the question that may arise in your mind would be, well, it's all right to speak from the pulpit, you know, be a platform speaker. But is it practicable? Is it practicable by our first heading, our quiet time? Is it practicable? Now, the question itself is ridiculous. First, from God's point of view. I remember a friend of mine, Michael and Thelma. And Thelma comes from the poor area of the East End, Council Estate, something like that. And Michael comes from Beckenham, not the rather Beckenham, you know, very high place. And they fell in love, and Michael took Thelma into his home. And this actually happened, I'm not giving you an illustration. And he took her home, and when she entered, you know, his house was so huge, the hall was bigger than her home. You know, the lovely big pictures. And she cried her heart, and when she went home, she says, Mommy, I don't think he'll ever marry me. He's such a big rich man, and I'm so poor, look at my council flat. Well, they got married and they are living happily ever after. Because Michael loved Selma. There is a relationship. He loved her. You know, God loves us. In our reading, we find how precious it is, Psalm 139, verse 17 and 18. Look at it when you go home. How precious it is, Lord, to realize that you are thinking about me constantly. I can't even count how many times a day your thoughts turn towards me. And when I waken in the morning, you are still thinking of me. God is thinking about us. He loves us. So from God's point of view, it's ridiculous because He is thinking of us. He loves us. Now, is it practicable from our point of view? Now, suppose you fall in love with a person. I mean, you are a single person, or suppose if you are not married, you fall in love with somebody of your opposite sex. You're madly in love, head over heel. You couldn't live without that person. Now, if I come to you and ask you, is it practicable for you to spend time with him or her? Or do you think you've got time for courting? Can a girl say, I have no time to be alone with my boyfriend. I can't go out with him because I'm so busy. Isn't it ridiculous? You will then question her love. Is he really in love with him? If a wife says in a house, you know, I have no time to be alone with my husband. You see, I'm too busy. My washing up, the decoration to do, and the gardening, Coronation Street, Crossroads, Peyton Place, you know, the goggle box, you know. Like, I'm so busy, you know, I can't spend time with my husband. Then you would ask, or you would want to know, whether there is anything radically wrong with that marriage. So the question itself is not really, is it practicable? But one should ask oneself in that kind of situation, am I really in love with Jesus Christ? Resist the devil and he will flee. Let him not even put the seed in your heart. Is it practicable to have quiet time? And second heading is it necessary? Now let me tell you with all emphasis, the invitation is from God. One of the prime reasons for God creating me is because he wants me to love him and ever eager to have fellowship with me. See the greatest and first commandment. Matthew chapter 22 verse 37 and 38. You should love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. How can I love God and not have time with him? The two doesn't go together. What are one of the greatest secrets of the apostle's strength? You know, Peter and John was preaching his head out, Acts chapter 4 verse 13. And when the crowd saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they wondered and they recognized they had been with Jesus. They were a bunch of fishermen, not even qualified to write your parish magazine, let alone the gospel of Jesus Christ. But they were preaching their head out. Why? Because they had been with Jesus. Because they had been with Jesus. You know why some Christians never run out of steam for the Lord? Because they are charged daily. Because they are charged daily. It is absolutely vital for our growth. A Christian can no more grow spiritually without spiritual food than he can grow physically without physical food. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 2. You can read it at home. And ask Bill, our Mr. Newberry, ask Bill. Call him Bill. You know, he likes that way. Ask Bill, is it necessary to spend one whole hour alone daily with your wife, you know, in the evening? And he looked at me with surprise in his eyes. He never thought about it. The question didn't even arise in his mind. He just did it because he loves his wife. You know, the question even doesn't come to our mind. If you love the Lord, we want to spend time with him. Next time when the question comes in your mind, is it necessary that I should have my quiet time? Or should I rush to the office? Or should I spend a few minutes? Ask yourself, who put that question in your heart? The devil is very much alive, prowling around like a lion to keep you from the word, to keep you from his love. Not only will you benefit from the quiet time with God, but the invitation is from God himself. Do I dare to neglect it? Would you? Then God himself asks you, I would like to talk to you. I don't. Well, we do fall. Well, we will come to that. Now, our third heading is there a time I must stick to? Is there a time I must stick to? Now, this is entirely between us and God. We are not legalistic when we become Christians. God knows our heart. But I think it is good to begin the day with God in the morning. And let me give you some reasons why we should try to stick to the morning. First, the example of Jesus. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, he did it. Second, reference to the morning time. So often in the written word of God. Psalm 5:3. And I'll just read one verse, and there are quite a few of them. O Lord, in the morning thou dost hear my voice. In the morning I prepare a sacrifice for thee and watch. If you are taking note, Psalm 88, verse 13. Psalm 130, verse 6. Psalm 119, verse 147, and so on. The morning time in the Bible. And then thirdly, the experience of other Christians of how morning time has helped them. And fourthly, it is appropriate that I must begin the day for God with God. A Christian saint once said, perhaps you have heard it, why wait until the concert is over to tune the guitar? It is often because we are not committed sufficiently or sufficiently committed to live for Him that we fail to find time to spend with Him. And fifthly, you know, I'm fresh in the morning. Oh, it's marvelous. Get up in the morning, you know, no worries. My mind is not clouded with the activities of the day. And I find it easy to concentrate. It's much easier to concentrate in the morning. And sixth, it is practical. Because I can more or less fix the time in the morning. We know where we will be when we get up, don't we? In the bed, of course, you know, where else we would be. And this helps us to fix the place, which is also important. It is always helpful to have a fixed place. I get up in the morning, you know, an hour early before my wife and children get up, because when they get up, it's pantomime in the house. So I get up a little early and come down, and I have a cup of coffee, black coffee, and I sit on the dining table in my kitchen or dining room, and I read there. It's nice to have, you know, you may have different places. It's good to have a fixed place. And morning is fresh, beautiful, tender, innocent. You know, there is something wonderful about the morning. I don't know whether you have noticed. It's really fantastic when you get up in the morning. And once I joked to a friend of mine, you know, who is always a late sleeper. He never got up in the morning. Do you know that? Well, you're missing one of the most wonderful time of the day. So out came the reply, you know, if only God could bring the morning a bit more forward so that everybody could enjoy it. What a terrible time it is, you know. If only God could bring the morning a little more, you know, forward that everybody could enjoy it. But it is wonderful. And another reason is that people go to bed at various times. I don't know if you are like me. We go to at varying times, 1:30, maybe half past 11, sometimes 3 o'clock. You don't know. It depends. But we get up more or less at the same time every day, don't we? So we could plan the fixed time. I find it easy for me. And there are many more reasons why morning is best. But let me stress, it is between you and God. And I have no right to tell you which is best for you. But one thing is certain, you will have to set aside the time. Make a definite time. The television is more colorful. The magazines are fantastic. The records are beautiful these days. The gardening, decoration, homework. It mounts up daily. We will never find time, spare time, to have time with God unless we make time. This is essential. We must make time. And let me put before you one reason why morning is most practical. Practical time. And who still thinks that, oh, I can't do it in the morning. I'll tell you why. In my 21 years of my professional life, as a Hindu and as a Christian, I have not once come across anyone. I mean, not one single soul who came to my office without brushing his teeth, washing up, and without putting his tie on and dressing properly. 100% brushes. He had time. I'll leave that to you. How to work that out? You know, I do that. I consider it as my washing up time. It takes about 10 to 15 minutes for me to dress up. And it takes something more than that for me to have quiet time. I never go out until I have my quiet time, until I spend a few minutes with God. I'm not saying it is legalistically. No, you're brushing your teeth is not legalistic, is it? You do it because you love it. Because you want everybody not to smell your mouth terrible. I mean, you want people to see a nicely dressed person when you go to office. Well, the famous cricketer, C.T. Studd, wrote, get up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross, a lazy early morning surely means harm and loss. The Church of God is calling, in duty be not slack. You cannot fight a good fight while lying on your back. Now let me give you some practical help for the morning. Pray the night before about your getting up the next morning. I do that. I managed it like that. I started my quiet time like this. And I prayed before I went to bed. My victory at 6 a.m. was won at the bedtime on the night before. The battle can be won or lost in the first 2 seconds of the day. But let me tell you about, you know, I never had a quiet time before until I started. I must have my quiet time. So I put my alarm clock on, 6 o'clock, and I went to bed. Alarm went. I stretched my hand and switched it off and went to sleep. And that happened for a week. Then I sort of perhaps, you know, stretching a hand, I took the alarm into my bed, to the side table. Not for my own, near my bed table, but to the dressing table. So that I had to get up and then switch it off. And so 6 o'clock, I jumped out, switched the alarm clock, went to bed. And it went about a week, you know, it's terrible. And I felt so guilty. So I said, perhaps God doesn't want me to have my quiet time in the morning, you know. He knows me, what I am. So I prayed at 11 o'clock before I went to sleep. Lord, if you really want me to get up and have quiet time in the morning, you wake me up before the alarm goes. And I prayed diligently, and I said, he will do it. And I turned the alarm to 5:30, because, you know, 6 o'clock you get up regularly, so I don't want to give him any fair chance to wake me up in my usual way. So I put it at 5:30. And I went to sleep, and I got up in the morning, and I looked at my watch, exactly 5:30. I thought, I wonder where the alarm has gone. And in 2 seconds, the alarm went. And I jumped out, switched the alarm clock, look at my watch, 2 minutes, I went to sleep. I went to sleep. You know, that was me. It's terrible. It's very difficult. I still find it, you know, I've given up now. I've given up, but I've given it to the Lord. I said, Lord, you help me. I don't do it with my own strength. I'll ask him. And he helps me now. He helps me. Not with my strength. I don't trust myself. You know, if I went to sleep, I say, another 5 minutes. That's had it, my quiet time. I have to really rush back to work because it's difficult. I find it difficult to get up in the morning. It's a battle for me. You know, at 5:30 when you get up in the morning, you know, it's terrible. You feel, you know, you brush your teeth. I don't know why you have to get up at, you know, you terrible feeling. But if you get up at 6 o'clock, I'm still terrible, you know, I'm still half dead. It doesn't make any difference whether I'm getting up at 6, 7 o'clock or 5:30. You're just as bad. So might as well get up at 5:30 and make good use of it. So if you intend to get up, you know, don't hit the bed. Wake up. Straight to the bathroom. Wash and, you know, brush your teeth and have coffee. And if you are the exercise, you know, exercise, have your exercise and be alive. And I have a cup of coffee in my hand. And if I'm talking to you, I can drink a cup of coffee. I'm talking to God. I'm not having a religious ritual. I'm having a conversation with God. I have my coffee by the side. And I read the book as you're having a conversation with him. My first conscious thought on waking is my Savior, whom I rise to meet. He's waiting for me. He has been praying for me while I'm asleep. Did you hear from Psalm 139? My first few seconds is used to commit my day to him. And I pray, Lord, help me for the next 24 hours that my thoughts and my words and my deeds may center on you, and I commit my life to him. So it's practical. It's necessary. Is there a time I stick to? Well, it's up to you. And finally, is there a program I can use? I won't say it's finally. Fourth heading. I'm not sure. Is there a program I can use? Well, start small. Let it grow. I read one chapter of the Bible. I started like that. And then I started one chapter from the Bible and one psalm. And then a few months ago, in the beginning of the year, one elderly lady was so sweet. You know, she said, do you know how many proverbs there are in the Bible? I said, 31. There are 30 days. Why didn't you read the proverb for the day? And that's fantastic. If you haven't started it, you start from tomorrow. Look at the date, 19th. Read proverb 19. Or just look at the day and read the proverb. What a difference it makes, because there are real practical issues in the proverb. And started, it's fantastic to read a proverb of the day, the date it belongs to. Now, it is not what ground you have covered that is important, but whether God speaks to you or reveals something to you from your reading. It's more of being conscious of his presence. You pray. Well, I pray before I read. Then I read as I'm conversing with God. And I pray for one person when I finish. One person. It's an introduction for the day. To set your heart and your mind on him. If you miss Monday, avoid the temptation of doubling up. Never double up the next day. I try to do it, and I know where it took me. You know, pray that I've prayed to him, Heavenly Father, I'm sorry I missed my morning with you yesterday. Forgive me. And start as usual. If you miss to brush up one day, would you double up next day? Would you? I don't know whether you got, if you are following Scripture Union notes, and if you miss one day, don't read two up, because I used to start with Scripture Union notes, and I used to have 1 month backlog, and I used to walk around with guilty face, you know, oh, terrible expression, 1 month, I'll never catch up, it's terrible. So if you miss one day, never mind, take it away, you still do the day that you are reading, and forget it, because it's not how much time, how much place you cover, whether you talk to God. You know, devil loves to make us guilty on such matters. And takes, kills the joy. It's a joy killer. Growth takes time. You know, it takes time. And quiet time is for a practical purpose, not for a religious ritual. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belongs to the Lord our God. But the things that are revealed belongs to us and to our children forever. That we may do all that is in the law. That we may do. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. That this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. That you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. And then you shall make your way prosperous. And then you shall have good success to do for doing it. And finally, and that's finally, it's here, it's written here, finally. I want to share with you one thing above all that helped me to make my quiet time richer and meaningful and exciting more than anything else in the world. And this is a small booklet, How to Spend a Day in Prayer. I remember Ed Rice. He gave it to me as a present. You know Ed Rice, who's been here some time ago. And he put his autographed it. And I looked at it. How to spend a day in prayer? You must be mad. You know, I thought he was kidding. Me? Spend a day in prayer? But I can tell you, I have tried it, and it's wonderful. And I have given it to many Christians, some in this church, and without exception, not one person has said that it hasn't helped them, and how much it has helped him or her. There's quite a few copies there, you can have a look, it's only 10 pence. And let me just summarize in a few minutes. It tells you how to go about it. In a place, I do 4 times a year, and you can do it 2x a year, it depends upon how you want it. If it is sunny, I go to the park. If it is a wintry day, I come to St. Helens and sit here, or go to a church where it's warm and comfortable, away from the telephone. Nobody knows where I am, even my wife doesn't know where I am. No, I spend a day from the telephone. And it divided in 3 parts. If you are from 7:30 to 5:30 in the evening, you just divide it into 3 parts. And first part, waiting on God. For his presence, for his cleansing, and for worship. The second part is praying for other people. You know, you meet a lot of people during your lifetime. And you can't pray for every one of them every day. But if one of these times, if you have a day quietly, you'll be surprised that third of the day is not enough for you to pray for all the people you want to pray. And it gives you tips and gives you the verses to how to pray about it. It gives you practical help in these things. And lastly, praying for myself, or for ourselves. A stock taking. Exposing yourself to the Word of God. Are you doing good and missing the best? God, what do you think about my life? Asking God. And if there are any important decisions that you have to make, you bring it to the second aspect. And you bring, the second of praying for others in the last period. It's wonderful. It's really wonderful. And do take one. It's only 10 pence. You buy a cup of coffee and spend 10 pence. You buy 2 cups of coffee and spend 20 pence. It's only 10 pence. It's right on the table, and you would find it is one of the best things that has helped, that will help you to really make your quiet time meaningful. You don't get any flashing inspiration or anything like that, but you would find that you're getting near to God. So days of quiet time does not just happen. You have to plan ahead. Pray about it. Give it top priority. If you're a person who can discipline your brushing your teeth and washing your face and putting your ties on or putting your dress on, then there is no excuse for you why you can't spend a few minutes, at least in the morning, with Jesus and His Word, and keep Him in your heart throughout the day. Not that we loved God, that He loved us. 1 John chapter 4 verse 19, we heard it on Tuesday. He can create in us a burning hunger for Him, if only we ask Him. Romans 5:5. is the Holy Spirit who opens our heart and helps us to fire and hope. God's love has been poured into our hearts through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. And there is 14:19, 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. We love because He loved us. We love because He loved us first. If you really want to have a quiet time with God, no one can take you away the joy of having the quiet time. Because in Luke chapter 10, here we find Jesus telling about Mary. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful. Mary has chosen the good portion, which shall not be taken away from her. And Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. Look at that verse. If you really want to have time with God, nobody can take it away from you. Because Jesus promised. And the last verse in Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. The priority is honeymoon before the hard work. Be with God before you can go out and work for Him. So let's bow our heads and pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You that You can come and sit with us and teach us Your word. We praise You for what You are, a God who created the heavens and earth, the stars and the moons and the universe. Such great God, and You come and sit by our side. We thank You that You think about us so many times during the day, even though we don't think about You. Thank You for the privilege of sharing with You our problems and difficulties. Thank You for teaching us from Your word. Thank You for Your written word. Thank You for the love that You can pour in our hearts when we don't love You. We don't have to put a face with You, Lord. We can be honest with You. We can say we don't love You, Lord. And we can ask You that You will pour Your love in our hearts. We thank You for this privilege of filling our hearts with Your love. Help us, Lord, to have time with You daily. We cannot do it with our own strength. We need Your help. Help us to grow in You day by day, that people may see the good works in us and give glory to God, our Heavenly Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.